Today on Annenberg Radio News.
There are some fanatical ideologues in Congress at this point in time, and that they are attacking women across the board.
We'll learn about proposed cuts to Planned Parenthood and what that means for South LA women. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, February 15th, 2011. I'm Sarah Erickson. The Los Angeles Unified School District's Board of Education met today to approve massive layoffs under the plan. 4,000 teachers and another 1,000 district employees could get layoff warnings. Liz Warden is at LAUSD headquarters with the latest. Liz?
Hi, I'm still here at the district headquarters. They haven't voted just yet. They're still talking about it. But they have talked about a way that they wouldn't have to vote on this if a tax extension through Governor Brown's budget proposal got on the ballot in June, it would actually bring their deficit down to $183 million. So that's one of the things they're discussing right now. Many have also voiced the opinion that, you know, California needs to make a public education a priority again. But until then, the district really doesn't have much of a decision than to not pass this proposal. You know, parents and teachers are here as well, and they're saying that this will make classrooms more overcrowded, which will take away teaching standards for the kids. And it's been a pretty heated discussion. Some board members started almost crying, and it's still in session right now, so hopefully we'll see what they vote on soon.
When a teacher gets handed a pink slip, it has a ripple effect on students and the whole school. Travis Cochran spoke with high school students to find out.
Many students in Los Angeles are used to teachers losing their jobs by the time they reach high school.
In 10th grade, I saw Ms. Law, Mr. Kylie, a lot of teachers just get laid off.
And these were all great?
They were all pretty good teachers.
Wow.
Many students are upset with the layoffs that have claimed some of their best teachers' jobs.
I don't think it's right because half of the teachers have been working here for over 10 years and they're really good at their job, and it's just not right that they're getting laid off.
Director of Legislation for the California State Parent Teacher Association, Debbie Look, says the layoffs make students uncomfortable and hinder environments both at school and at home.
So obviously this creates incredible amount of chaos, hurts employee morale, upsets children and family who are worried that their favorite teachers are going to be let go. So, you know, overall, it just creates a horrific situation.
The government's budget will determine exactly how many teachers' jobs are on the chopping block. Travis Cochran, Annenberg Radio News.
The general manager of the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum resigned today. The commission was scheduled to meet late this afternoon to discuss Patrick Lynch's employment. The LA Times reports that Lynch tendered his resignation in an email to the commission. There were calls for Lynch to resign after it came to light that he allowed the assistant general manager to also work for Insomniac Incorporated. Insomniac organized a music festival at the Coliseum in which a 15-year-old girl died from an overdose of ecstasy. Councilman Bernard Parks hopes to come up with a $50,000 reward for the killing of a South LA man. 31-year-old Herbert Seymour Jr. was shot in the back last Wednesday after leaving a liquor store. Family members called the act senseless, and the police department doesn't have any leads. Laura Peralta is a public safety officer in Parks' office. She says it's been hard getting any leads.
It typically is someone who they know, who they're close to, and they don't want to risk getting in trouble. There are a lot of people who have critical information, and this is the one way to motivate them.
Peralta say Councilman Parks is confident the proposed reward will easily pass through the city council. Seymour worked at a Best Buy as part of the Geek Squad. He was the father of two children. The city council voted today to borrow money earmarked for community projects and use it to ease a staffing shortage at the new downtown jail. The motion won unanimous approval. It calls for transferring more than $39,000 from the Sunshine Canyon Community Amenities Trust Fund to the Los Angeles Police Department. The money would possibly end the furloughs of some detention officers at the recently opened Metropolitan Detention Center. Councilman Greg Smith says the funding will help put 27 police officers back on city streets, starting February 28th through the end of the fiscal year on June 30th. Nurses and medical staff employees protested outside of the USC Hospital today in East LA. They held signs with messages like "Fight on for safe patient care." Evelyn Koch is a recovery nurse at the hospital. She joined over 100 employees to protest.
Hopefully USC administration will see this outpouring of support here and realize that there's some disconnect between what their perception is and what the reality is.
The hospital is negotiating employee contracts with two unions that represent nurses and healthcare workers. Talks have stalled because the unions and administrators disagreed over staff and worker input concerning staffing levels. USC Hospital put out a response that says, "We are optimistic that negotiations will continue in good faith, and we look forward to reaching agreements that everyone can be proud of." LA city engineers, architects, and scientists are angry. They say the city is mismanaging its resources while city workers are facing furloughs, layoffs, and salary cuts. As Candace Winters reports, they held a news conference to call on the city to cut back on the number of private contractors it hires.
"They make our city run smoothly, but engineers, scientists, even criminologists say they are losing work to private contractors who do their jobs for a much higher price.
We're spending money to pay for these consultants to do our work, then we have to review the work."
Michael Hunt has been a transportation engineer in Los Angeles for the past 20 years.
"So it's not only their costs, but it's our costs on top of their costs. You actually have to work with us to figure out how this city functions. They don't know the insides of this city. We do."
Last year, City Controller Wendy Gruhl issued an audit that showed more than $200 million was paid to private contractors. The city hires private contractors when city employees do not have the required skill set to complete the job. Gus Malcoon is a civil engineer for the city.
"The consultant, you know, the consultant's not going to go away. We work with them. I work with them for all the years. They provide quality work. But again, there's a lot of work being farmed out that could be done in-house first, and the remaining work could be given out to the consultant."
Some city officials say hiring private contractors over their own employees is rare.
"This is our city. We live here. We work here. We have done major projects. All the infrastructure, the street, the bridges, the building behind you, is all done by the city employees. So now everybody won't work. We understand that, but the city could do it better than anybody outside."
But Gruhl's audit report says the city doesn't have a reliable system for determining when to use outside contractors. They make our city run smoothly. Candace Winters, Annenberg Radio News.
Say goodbye to sunny weather and hello to rain this week. Tonight will be cloudy with a 30% chance of rain. Tomorrow, highs around 60 with a chance of showers in the morning and afternoon. And the overcast weather will continue into Thursday with highs near 60 and a 20% chance of rain. So keep those umbrellas handy. Later on Annenberg Radio News, good news for Homeboy Industries, the nonprofit that nearly closed its doors last year due to financial woes, is making a comeback. We'll hear more about their latest endeavors. Women's health organizations in South Los Angeles say access to health care is endangered by some members of Congress. They met at Planned Parenthood today to defend Title X funds that Republican lawmakers are trying to take away. Trenise Ferreira has the story.
Planned Parenthood is one of the 4,500 nationwide clinics that offers men, women, and children health care services. These include cancer and sexually transmitted disease screenings, birth control, and abortions. Selena Vasquez represents Planned Parenthood.
The new leadership in the House of Representatives promised to create jobs, but instead, their top priority is to take away health benefits from women all across California and the entire country.
Clinics like this Planned Parenthood facility on 30th Street in South LA once again find their funding threatened. Title 10 is a government program for family planning. Planned Parenthood receives millions annually from Title 10, but none of that money can be used for abortions. Regardless, anti-abortion lawmakers often target Planned Parenthoods because they perform them. Last week, Republicans in Congress said they will seek to cut Title 10 fundings to offset the budget deficit. Some women health groups here in South LA believe this proposal is a direct attack on the right to health care access. Jeanette Robinson Flint is with the Black Women for Wellness organization.
We're in the seventh or eighth week of the year, and they've already introduced three bills that specifically attack women. They're redefining rape. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis. You would think they would be gone in this time because there's treatment for all of that stuff, but if a person can't get screened, they sure can't get treatment, and since we already have a health disparity, then taking away the funding for screenings and for treatment would increase that disparity.
Robinson Fent believes that cutting the funding would be especially damaging for the Black community, where lack of health care is already an issue. Without access to health care, low-income communities in South LA could see dramatic increases in STD and cancer cases and unplanned pregnancies. This is Trinice Ferreira, Annenberg Radio News.
Prices are rising to dangerous levels around the globe. That's according to a World Bank report released today. Julia Dang reports.
The World Bank report shows a 29% jump in food prices in the last year. Higher costs for basics like corn, oil, and wheat have pushed 44 million people from developing nations into poverty since June. World Bank Chief Robert Zoellick says the higher prices could cause political instability in the Middle East and possibly Central Asia. He said that while food prices weren't the reason for the protests in Egypt and Tunisia, it was an aggravating factor. The report comes days before a group of 20 major economic countries meet in Paris. Zoellick says the findings should encourage countries to avoid putting bans on exports. He says such a move could make the food price problem even worse. Julia Dang, Annenberg Radio News.
Homeboy Industries announced today that its newest line of retail products are a hit. Homeboy Chips and Salsa became the number one selling snack food item at Ralph's grocery stores in Southern California. The Los Angeles-based nonprofit helps convicts and former gang members acquire life skills and job training. These new products represent Homeboy's latest efforts to emerge from financial instability. Earlier, I spoke with Mary Ellen Burton, Chief Financial Officer at Homeboy Industries, about their snack food success and plans for the future. So the news was announced today that the snack food items, this chips and salsa created by Homeboy Industries, is the number one snack food item in the Southern California Ralph's retailers.
Uh-huh.
How does that feel?
That's great. Better than we had hoped for. Our official launch was January 25th. I think we were in the stores a few days before that.
And can you give me an estimate as to how many items have been sold or how much Homeboy Industries has grossed from this product?
It looks like I think it's going to be about 10,000 a month for the salsa and the chips.
And that's number of items sold?
No, that's the dollars received.
And when did you first approach Ralph's with this idea to bring the product on the line?
They actually approached us. They were brought here by a friend of Homeboy and tasted our product, and we started talking with them about can we look at getting to begin with, the salsas in the store. And that was about a year and a half ago.
And what other plans do you have going forward? Will you continue? Do you want to expand this to other stores or bring out new products?
Both. We would like to expand. We're hoping that our relationship with Ralph's will help us move toward a relationship with Kroger, which is a national chain. So we're starting those conversations with Ralph's, and we would branch out to as many stores as possible. The part of what we're trying to do is establish some steady revenue streams to support all of the services and the employment of the homeboys and homegirls who are here. We brought back 100 employees since last May when we had to let go a lot of people. So our financial situation is stable, and we're taking advantage of every opportunity that comes along for increasing our revenue. We're opening a new cafe in City Hall within the next couple of months, and within the next 12 months, we will be opening a homeboy or homegirl cafe in LAX, in one of the terminals in LAX.
Congratulations again on your great success, and we're looking forward to seeing more products from Homeboy Industries in 10 years. That was Mary Ellen Burton of Homeboy Industries. It's official. Deborah Bowen announced today she will be running for Jane Harmon's seat in Congress. Longtime Democratic Representative Harmon announced last week she will be stepping down. She has represented California's 36th congressional district since 1993. Bowen is California's Secretary of State. She's previously served as an Assemblywoman and State Senator. She will be running against LA City Councilwoman and fellow Democrat Janice Hahn. Now we check in with Caroline Vandegrift to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me. We have a stacked news show today. Lots going on. The manager of the Coliseum just resigned early this afternoon amid a lot of controversy and allegations that he allowed a top assistant to double as a consultant of the Electric Daisy Carnival rave. Also, voting began today for USG elections. We will tell you how to vote, and the platforms of all the different candidates. And one candidate could face a review panel for alleged violations of the rules, so we will give you the scoop on that. Also, the budget battle has begun between President Obama and his critics, and we will have further details tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. And as always, you can find us on the web at hevn.org.
Thanks, Caroline. We'll look forward to that. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton said today the Obama administration will spend $25 million this year on initiatives designed to protect cyber dissidents. A cyber dissident is a professional or citizen journalist who posts information on the internet that implies criticism of a government or regime. The State Department launched Twitter accounts in Arabic and Farsi last week. Clinton said it will soon begin tweeting in Chinese, Hindi, and Russian. A cow that avoided slaughter 5 years ago by jumping a slaughterhouse gate now has a home in Montana. The cow is known as Unsinkable Molly B because her escape included a swim in the Missouri River. She was recently rescued from an animal sanctuary and is now at the New Dawn Montana Farm Animal Sanctuary. Sue Eakings at the sanctuary said it is a relief to have Molly back. She says she and her husband have been warned about the cow's behavior, but Eakins called Molly a sweetie pie. That's it for Tuesday. We had help today from Stephanie Guzman and Carl Nickenig. Chris Foy is our producer. Jessica Flores is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Sarah Erickson.